Hello, and welcome to the Deep Spirituality Podcast. If you're just joining us, we are launching our first ever book written by our editor-in-chief, Russ Yule. We're going to take today's podcast episode to share with you a sneak preview of the audiobook version of the book, which is out now. We'll have a link in the show notes. He's Not Who You Think He Is, Dropping Your Assumptions, and Discovering God for Yourself. We'll take some time to set up the segment for you, our listeners, and hear from the author himself. Russ, in chapter 6, When God Becomes Satisfying, you tackle rebuilding our emotional lives. You read a passage from Luke 6 and describe how the Bible teaches us to build our spiritual and emotional lives. Luke 6, 47-49 reads, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the ones who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." The Bible talks a great deal more about building than most people believe. I mention this because many people come to God expecting a quick miracle that will make everything better. What the Bible actually emphasizes is a long-term view of life, building. Luke 6, 47-49 makes clear that those who refuse to take the time to dig down deep and lay the foundation on rock will inevitably experience collapse. In many cases, this collapse will be both spiritual and emotional. Russ, what were the significant moments in your life that taught you this lesson and inspired you to write about it?
Well, in order to read the significant moments, you'll have to, or understand the significant moments, you'll have to read the book because there's too many moments. What I think I should answer is, why do I have a chapter about emotional rebuilding? Well, I always thought that I was aware of my emotions, but then when I became a Christian, I realized I was only probably aware of 3 to 5 of my emotions, that I had spent a lot of time in my life suppressing my emotions. Anytime I associated anything emotional with pain, I suppressed it. Anytime I felt like something was difficult to understand or process, I suppressed it. Anytime I thought someone might embarrass me because of how I felt, I suppressed it. And eventually, I suppressed so much of my emotion, I couldn't access them. This chapter is really a chapter about being able to access your emotions and understanding that, I believe it's in Acts chapter 13, it talks about David being a man after God's own heart. And it's about getting your heart to come alive so you can make a heart-to-heart connection with God instead of a behavioral connection with God. And so the emotional rebuilding chapter is meant to help everybody lay a foundation on rock. Because the rock, I think at least one aspect of the rock, is getting down to what we really believe inside and what we really feel inside. And oftentimes we're so preoccupied, at least I was, we're so preoccupied with the rules. Because I was not a churchgoer and this was all unfamiliar to me. So my head was spinning, reading all these verses about things I'm supposed to be and do that I'd never been or done. And so I was overwhelmed by it. So I got consumed by following the rules. And through a series of good fortune that's in the book, I was able to find my way to the reality that my heart is emotional and I've got to be able to access it. And that's what this chapter is about.
All right. With that, let's take a listen to the audiobook.
Emotional Rebuilding. As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house, who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Luke 6:47-49. The Bible talks a great deal more about building than most people believe. I mention this because many people come to God expecting a quick miracle that will make everything better. What the Bible actually emphasizes is a long-term view of life, building. Luke 6:47-49 makes clear that those who refuse to take the time to dig down deep and lay the foundation on rock will inevitably experience collapse. In many cases, this collapse will be both spiritual and emotional. My personal and leadership experience has given me the opportunity to see what both the storms and the collapses look like. Everyone experiences storms, but not everyone has to experience collapse. Those whose lives collapse almost always have ignored the emotional aspect of their spiritual lives. They were not willing to dig down deep. Rebuilding our emotional lives will allow us to grow our character as we walk with God and develop our strength from the inside out. I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:16-19. Rebuilding our emotional lives will deepen our spirituality and take our relationship with God to levels we have never known before. There are 6 simple steps to get us moving on this journey to the next stage of our walk with God. 1. Emotional vocabulary. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Proverbs 15:4, NLT. We cannot develop an emotional life without an emotional vocabulary. Far too few of us actually know enough words to communicate the emotions we feel on a regular basis. Developing an emotional vocabulary is one of the first things I recommend to teens, and I would also recommend it to adults. Try downloading an emotions chart and familiarizing yourself with the terms. I consider myself fairly well-versed in emotions, but was humbled when I saw how many words there were for emotions I had never considered, but had definitely felt. 2. Emotional awareness. And when a prayer or plea is made by anyone among your people, Israel, being aware of their afflictions and pains, and spreading out their hands toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place. Forgive and deal with everyone according to all they do, since you know their hearts, for you alone know the human heart, so that they will fear you and walk in obedience to you all the time they live in the land you gave our ancestors. 2 Chronicles 6:29-31. Once we develop our emotional vocabulary, we will be able to increase our emotional awareness. We will have words to describe a number of feelings we have had, but have never known how to explain. We can learn from Solomon's prayer in the previous scripture that increasing our emotional awareness will make our prayers much more intimate and influential with God. When we are aware of our afflictions and pains and take them to God, He hears us and takes action. Another valuable benefit is that it will increase the depth and intimacy of our human relationships. 3. Emotional history. One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. Once we have increased our emotional vocabulary and awareness, we will experience immediate benefits in our relationships with God and people. After experiencing these initial benefits, it is wise to develop an emotional history. What is an emotional history and how do we put one together? It's quite simple. We begin by looking back over our lives and reflecting on our significant relationships. Then we look for patterns by asking a few basic questions. 1. Which of my relationships have had the most significant emotional impact on my life? How did these relationships begin? How did they end? If I am still close to these people, what are the qualities that have allowed these relationships to endure? 2. Which relationships in my life have ended badly and why? 3. What are the best relationships in my life, and what are the qualities that have kept them strong and healthy? Once we have developed an emotional history of our lives, we should communicate the lessons learned to our closest friends. When we have difficulty in our relationships, we should review our history. We can then take responsibility if we are repeating unhealthy patterns and strive to apply our strengths to improve our relationships. 4. Emotional honesty. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart. Psalm 15:1-2. Regardless of how much introspection or reflection we do, nothing matters more to our spiritual and emotional lives than honesty, speaking the truth from our hearts. Rebuilding our emotional life demands honesty, which means we must make a decision not to disguise our true feelings with our lips. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. Proverbs 26:24. We must make repeated decisions to open up about the reality of our lives, which includes being honest and vulnerable about our guilt and sins with ourselves, with God, and with our friends. I have a message from God in my heart concerning the sinfulness of the wicked. There is no fear of God before their eyes. In their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect or hate their sin. Psalm 36:1-2. This honesty is not something we simply practice on the outside, because all true honesty begins on the inside. We must be willing to tell ourselves the truth. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Psalm 51:6, NLT. This type of truth-telling is difficult to do on our own, which is why the Bible encourages us to build spiritual relationships that include the practice of emotional honesty. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews 3:12-13. There is no more important quality for rebuilding our emotional lives than emotional honesty. We need to rely on God and begin practicing it today. 5. Emotional maturity. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Hebrews 5:11-14. Emotional maturity is a balanced and resilient temperament that allows us to make connections with all types of people. When we walk with God through all that life throws at us, we inevitably develop emotional maturity. We learn how to process and manage our emotions in a healthy and effective way. Emotional maturity has very little to do with age and everything to do with consistency. To become emotionally mature, we have to work on it every day and in every relationship. It is an absolute necessity if we hope to teach others to walk with God, build healthy relationships, and make a positive contribution in this world. Parents, teachers, coaches, corporate and political leaders, really all people of influence, must have emotional maturity to help and inspire others. 6. Emotional connections. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I don't need you," and the head cannot say to the feet, "I don't need you." 1 Corinthians 12:18-21. The sixth and final step in emotional rebuilding is the acceptance that we are different from everyone else. One of the great joys in life should be making emotional connections with others who are equally unique. Making emotional connections is a messy business, and we all have a number of emotional challenges to deal with. Every family, group, or organization of which we are a part will be messy. This includes the church. As Christians, we must have the type of patient and deep love that allows us to make intimate and loyal emotional connections. This is what will make both our God and His church attractive. In our next chapter, we will discuss and develop a game plan we can implement that will make God attractive to ourselves and others. Listen on, and let's be inspired together.
And that rounds out our sneak preview of Deep Spirituality's new book, He's Not Who You Think He Is, Dropping Your Assumptions and Discovering God for Yourself. Find it on Amazon for paperback, Kindle, and Audible for audiobook. You can also visit deepspirituality.com for links and additional resources for the book. We want to say a big thanks to Fleet Cooper for coming on board to record the audiobook, as well as the whole team here at Deep Spirituality to make this book possible. We'll have links in the show notes for all of this, so you can make sure to check it out. If you like what you're hearing, take a minute to rate and review the show. 5 stars would help us out a lot. And make sure to share about the show with your friends on Facebook or any other social media platforms. This is Deep Spirituality. We'll see you next time.